Okay, class, we're back again. This particular lesson here is kind of like a continuation of what happened with Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and on the mountain in the area of Zin, that where Miriam died, and God had to deal with the whole situation. And I hope you understood pretty much what we dealt with last Monday. But I want you to see how serious is a matter of being an authority. How you just can't take it lightly, the things we do and the performance that we function in. It can't just be a human performance. It has to be God-directed performances as an authority. And I understand these lessons are so important when it comes to understanding authority, that a lot of the church world have not even understand it. And Apostle have demonstrated this throughout his ministry. I've watched him over the years, and he could have very well written this very book on understanding authority. But to be a delegated authority is a serious matter. I hope you find this section in your book. And I didn't get all the way through the last segment, but I think I covered enough to get an understanding of where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish in these few short weeks of these classes. And, you know, the semester passes so fast. You only can say so much in a couple of months. And I wish I could be more thorough on some of these subjects, but we can't give you everything that you got to understand in these classes. And I hope some of the areas you just continue reading throughout the years to come. You've always had these books with you. And I know it's so much information. You try to study for every class and you get some of this and some of that. But sometimes when things settle down a little bit, go back to some of these textbooks and read them and refresh yourself on some of these things and you get a better understanding that this is not just a one-time experience, but this should be continuous education classes for you. Keep going over and over some of these information, and it's going to serve you in time to come. One thing helped me so much is I teach this book every year, and all throughout the year, I'm looking and studying and reading it, and I never get to a place where I think I know everything about it. Every time I read another section of this book, I say, oh God, I've read this before, but I see something new. So you never, what word I'm looking for, you never arrive when it comes to any particular matter dealing with God. Okay, so enough said. So if you start right at the beginning of this section and you find it in your book, if you follow with me in your book, I think it's helpful. I decided to go this route because you can underline certain points, certain high points that I might stress on, because that's exactly what the test is going to be about, my quiz is going to be about. I just tried to get certain high points out because certain things I just wanted to remain. I don't have any trick questions on my test, on my exam. If you just pay close attention to what's being said, and there's no wrong answers in me. And just remembering what we talked about and understanding what we were talking about, because we're not trying to fail you, just trying to put some information in you. Not trying to confuse you, but put some information in you that you can keep for the rest of your life. So class, without further ado, I'm gonna go to the first statement. To be a delegated authority is a serious matter. And oh, how some don't know how serious this matter is. Now, we do not talk about pastors, the fivefold ministry. We talk about any delegation of authority. See, you can't just put one in a certain level and think that's just a serious matter. No, all delegated authority becomes a serious matter because you always represent God through you, whether it's through your leaders, whatever representation it is, you're always representing God, and you want to be sure that you don't misrepresent God. So as a consequence of the above incident, we're continuing from last week's class, as a consequence of the bull incident, when Moses misrepresented God by striking the rock instead of speaking to him like he told him, and what happened is because of the incident, God announced that both Moses and Aaron were not to be allowed to enter Canaan. That was the result of his action. That seemed like due punishment to God, because you would think after 40 years of going through the whole process of traveling through from Egypt all the way to the promised land, the real reward would have been to cross the Jordan River and to bring the people all the way into the fulfillment of God's promise. When God would go with Moses, I'm saying like Moses crossing over now. God would go with Moses and he would have the job that Joshua had. God would allow Moses to be with the people in battle, and God would allow Moses to separate all the lands into all the tribes. He would have seen all the fruits of his labor fulfilled. But nevertheless, didn't get a chance to see it because of this one particular incident. And God knows what he's doing. God always knows what he's doing. If a person should speak carelessly and do something in a way which does not sanctify God, then from the moment God has to step in to justify himself, there's no way left. There's no way left to ask for forgiveness. Oh, class, I want you to understand this, and you got to see it in God's point of view. Let me read this statement again, and you're going to understand God to a certain degree, because you never fully understand him, but you'll be able to see why God permits some things to go on. That's why I love this book. If a person should speak carelessly, I'm going to read it again, and do something in a way which does not sanctify God. What do you mean sanctify God? Let God show himself God. Separate yourself and let you know that God is God. Let God be who he is. Don't try to bring God down to human limitation and human understanding. Let God be glorified, and be exalted. I'm trying to explain this sanctify God. Then, from the moment God has to step in to justify himself when I'm misrepresented, there is no way to ask for forgiveness. Now watch how this should be handled. This is so important. So important. Listen closely. We must fear and tremble when we are managing affairs of God. Can I say it again? We must do what, class? We must fear and tremble when we are managing the affairs of God. In other words, you just can't take anything for granted. You just have to be very mindful, very careful, very prayerful when it comes to dealing with God's affair, to make sure his affairs are executed precisely, accurately, and directly like he said to do it. Now, here's another point here, and I thought it was a very good point. Let us beware lest we grow careless and reckless as we become older. Now, what is he saying then? Let us be mindful that we don't become careless and reckless as we become older. See, sometimes Moses had grown older in his years, and his time with the people in age wise that you get accustomed to doing certain things, and you think that's the way it is, and then it becomes second nature to do certain things, and so you begin to perform by experience and robotically through your norm, through the norm action. And sometimes, as you get older, you almost want to take on some personal. I'm trying to find the right word. You want to handle things on a personal level. And you can't get personal with spiritual things. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. In earlier days, when Moses' anger burned hot and he smashed into pieces, that's what I tried to explain to you last week, and slashed into pieces the tables on which God had written the law, God did not blame him. He had touched God's heart of jealousy, and so his anger was justified. In other words, he took upon God's heart when he dealt with the tablets of stone, when he saw the sinfulness of the people when he came down off the mountain. And so it was justified. And God was pleased with Moses because my servant has my heart. You see it? And so it was a difference here. Now, after having followed the Lord for many more years and yet failing to do as he commanded by smiting the rock twice and speaking hasty words, Moses has misrepresented God. For this, he was kept out of Canaan. I'm reading next table. The people of Israel rebelled against God many times, but he was patient with them. Moses and Aaron, though, committed one mistake, and yet they were barred from Canaan. It shows how serious it is to be delegated authorities. One mistake, one error, and they were barred from the promised land. You would have thought God would have just permitted him to go on anyway. But God always has a purpose for doing everything that he permits and everything he doesn't permit. God is more strict with those who represent him, you see, than the people. He's more strict with the leaders than those that who's supposed to be obeying those in authority. And so he expects more out of you as leaders than those who follow. In Numbers 18, the Lord said to Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall hear the iniquities of the sanctuary, shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. The more authority which is delegated, the severer is God's dealing. You see that? The more authority that's delegated to you, the more God's going to have to deal with you, severer his dealing with going to be with authority. The Lord also said, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. You understand that? Jesus said that. It is truly a beautiful picture to see Moses and Aaron and Eleazar and his sons ascend together to Mount Hor. All of them were obedient to God in humbly accepting God's judgment. They did not even pray, for they knew God. Aaron knew his day had arrived, and Moses was also conscious of his own future. God ordered Moses to perform the transaction since at the waters of Meribah, as when he struck the rock, Moses had also been the chief character, by viewing how Aaron went or died, it was made known to Moses how he would also go. As Aaron was stripped of his holy garment, he died. Now, God is fulfilling his promise that Aaron would not be able to go into the promised land, yet Moses still performing his duties as prescribed earlier. Aaron is taken into the mount, and him, Moses, and his son, Eleazar, which is going to precede Moses in the priestly position and serving with Moses on the journey to the promised land. Now, what's happening here is that God going to allow Moses to unrobe Aaron and to put Aaron's anointed robe and sanctify Eleazar to take Aaron's place as the priest with Moses. And so what happened here is that the transaction going on, and we're going to find out that the clothing represents God's position and his service. You see it? Now God's stripping him of his service. And when that garment is stripped off from Aaron, you're going to find out something supernatural happened. God permitted him to die when the garment was removed. So does the calling have something to do with the length of service? Watch. Let's read some more. Ordinarily, people do not die by their clothes being stripped off. But Aaron did, because his life was maintained by service. Oh, I thought it was such a wonderful statement. Aaron's life was maintained by service. Is it possible that your life, your length of days, your quality of life, your quality of days, could it be maintained by your service to God? You know, I always believe that the secret to serving in ministry, it becomes valuable in ministry. What do you mean? And I've worked at my entire experience in serving my apostle. I always felt like in my heart that the more valuable I become to my spiritual leader, the more not for prolonging service, but the more I become an asset. Well, here's what I would do. I would learn things on purpose. Whatever position I was in, I made sure I learned everything I had to learn to go along with that. If there was a particular skill I needed, I made sure I learned that skill to perform this particular task. I made sure I found out exactly how to do something so I can. I said, no, Apostle said, Ron, can you do this? I said, yes, sir, I can do that. I may not have been prepared at the time to do it, but I educated myself to the point that when it came time to do it, I knew exactly how to do it. My point of saying this is, I always went to the length to, I never said I couldn't do it. Because then, what you need me for, if you need me to do something and I can't do it? No, I must become valuable. I must, if I don't have the qualification, I must get qualified to do certain things. Because I always wanted to please my spiritual leader. And because I know when I please him, God is pleased. And I know when the work gets done, then my value was not in vain. Not to be high-minded, to lift my head up, say I did this and I did that. No, because I know I had to do something with maintaining my life, service. I'm trying to say something so you can catch it. So when you're serving in your ministry, don't never fail to apply yourself 110%. Always apply myself 110%. Always found a way to get something done. Always knew how to make it happen. I always put forth all my efforts. If I don't know how to do something, I'm gonna find out how to do it. I'm trying to show you something here. I'm trying to show you something about service here. How your life is maintained through your service. And you never get to the point where you throw responsibility off on someone else. No, I wish I could say more about this. This suggests that the life of one who serves God ceases when his service ends. You hear that? The life of one that serves God ceases when his service ends. So the secret is, never let your service end. I retired a couple of years ago, and I made my mind up, and I said, I'm always going to be on staff. And I put myself on call 24/7, and whatever they need, the ministry need, whatever I need to do to make something happen, I'm going to be available to do it as long as I live. What I'm doing, I'm preserving my life because I don't want my service to end. I'm preserving my connection. I don't ever want to disconnect from what God has me doing here. Always, I gotta have something to partake of in the ministry. Always want to feel like I can be counted on. Always want to be available to do whatever needs to be done. You know, I don't care what's happening. I always try to put my hands in it. Yeah, you retired. Yeah, but there's always another way to serve. And I always try to find that way to serve. Are you with me, Claire? Are you with me? When we got functioning, getting ready, I try to make my best to come and volunteer to be here when I can. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm trying to show you something. You see, So always keep serving God. Many years elapsed after this happened with Moses, yet God's judgment did not pass away from him. Eventually, he dealt with Moses in the same way he had dealt with Aaron. He summoned Moses to Mount Nebo to die, even though during the intervening years, Moses had remained faithful. Moses never stopped being faithful. Before his death, Moses blessed the people of Israel with a song, but he did not ask to be exempted from his particular judgment. In other words, he knew that God was just in everything he did. He too humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. So here's the point. Here's the point, Claire. He He who had represented God's authority and who had obeyed him all his life, except in the one instant in his old age, was not permitted to enter Canaan. What tremendous loss Moses incurred. You know, I thought about this statement. You know, it seemed like it was a loss he incurred, because it would have meant so much for him to enter the promised land. But yet, his service was of such great value that his name is repeated throughout Bible history. I mean, God gave him a glorious reward because his lesson was so grave. His lesson was that he left us so valuable for us to follow after hundreds of years later. His work is still being demonstrated. His faithfulness is still being demonstrated throughout the Bible, how faithful he was to God in all his house. And so he one of the great Bible examples of how to serve God. So it that seemed to have been a loss, but yet there is no, God's plan never loses. He always has a purpose. The one scripture over in 1 Corinthians said, all these things happen in the Old Testament for our example, so we don't do likewise. That's somewhere over in 1 Corinthians 10, I think. So God permitted all these things. We might not understand why he didn't go into the promised land. You say, why would God let one thing? But God always got a purpose for doing things. If it's just to educate us, to know that he's God all by himself, that he know he keeps his words and keeps his promises. And he's going to be God whether you agree with him or not. God is not a God that when you agree with him, he's God all the time. Are you with me? Before we declare anything, let us seek to know his mind. Only after ascertain his mind may we do it in his name. So the way or the lesson we learn in not doing likewise with Moses, taking his mind and try to think for God, is the key right here. I'm reading again. Before we decide anything dealing with God's assignment, let us seek to know his mind. Now, that takes some work on our part. You know, leaders that don't pray don't make very good leaders. Leaders that don't spend time with God and his word don't make very good leaders. You know, Jesus called them hireling, because a good leader always sees God's mind on everything. And so when you seek God's mind, whatever you do, you can do it in his name and not your name. Moses could not claim that what he had done at the water of Meribah was done in the Lord's name. Moses could not say that what was done in the Lord's name, because it was not done in his name. Let us not be foolish, but let us learn to fear and tremble before God. I like what Brother Nee said. Do not render judgment carelessly. Rather, control your spirit and your mouth, especially at the time of provocation. I'm going to read that again, class. I'm going to read this again. Do not render judgment carelessly. Spend time with prayer. Spend time seeking God's face. Don't get in a hurry before you try to render some judgment, trying to find out what God's mind is on the thing. Do not render judgment carelessly. Rather, control your spirit. What do you mean, control my spirit? Control my own thoughts and mind. Control my emotion. What you mean control my emotion? Make sure your emotion don't reflect God. Or make sure your emotion, no, let me say it again. Make sure your emotion reflect God and not reflect you. Because you can error. I wish to get the point across. Make sure your emotion don't reflect you and not God. Make sure your reaction is God's reaction. That's a serious, serious thing that authority is. Make sure you control your spirit and your mouth, especially at the time of provocation, when God has you to do something and God has to make a decision. Make sure all your decisions are lined up with God. The more one knows God, the less he is careless. There are some times when we may receive forgiveness after having fallen into God's government hand. Let me read it again. There are some times when one may receive forgiveness after having fallen into God's government's hand, but this does not always happen. The government of God ought not be offended. Let us be clear about it. God's government ought not to be offended, and make sure we be clear about it. Class, I want you to see there are certain points here that I want to bring out, certain highlights that I want you to go back and to mark in your book. And I want you to remember these things. I want to make these things demarcation. Demarcation means some firm statements that should be always remembered as an authority. Here's one right here. I'm going to give you at least three. If a person should speak carelessly, I'm going back over this, and do something in a way which does not sanctify God, from the moment God has to step in to justify himself, there's no way to ask for forgiveness. If a person should speak carelessly and do something in a way which does not sanctify God, then from the moment God has to step in to justify himself, there's no way to ask for forgiveness. You never want to put yourself in a position where God got to come back and justify himself, or in other words, correct you before the people. Because God does it, but he doesn't like to do it. He didn't enjoy having to deal with Moses before the people, because he wanted to be glorified and sanctified. But because Moses didn't do that, he had to correct himself, or correct Moses before the people. So never put yourself in that position. God is more strict when those who represent him with those who represent him. He told Aaron and his son that thou and thy son and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. The more authority which is delegated, the severer is God's dealing. So the higher you get in authority, the more responsibility you get, that's the more severe you're going to be dealt with. You know, you think it should be the opposite. You think the more authority you got, the more you can get away with. But not that, that might be in the world system, but with God's system is the more that God holds you accountable. You see it? God holds you accountable because you represent Him, and God will not be misrepresented. Let me give you this last one here, then we're gonna quit for the day. We're gonna see you next week. Look at this now, Claire. Ordinarily, people do not die by their clothes being stripped off. But Aaron did because his life was maintained by service. I want you to remember that point. Your life, because it's maintained by service as a spiritual leader or someone that's in position of authority, your service has everything to do with your life. So that's why we have to be serious about this business. We got to be serious about our position of authority. That is nothing to play with, that it always has to represent God, and that you always have to spend time with God in prayer and the Word and in study. And it's not something to just to say you achieve a certain position, something to just self-promotion, but you represent God Almighty, and God takes everything He does seriously, and He wants us to function in that same manner. Class, you've been a good class, and I want you to hold fast to some of these things you've heard. We're going to go further next week. We're going to, matter of fact, we're going to deal with another lesson on delegated authority that I think we need before this class year ends. So you've been in a good class, and I'll see you next time.